You've been created by an amazing God. You've messed up your life a little bit. Jesus died for you, and you've come to realize that that's what he's done for you, and you've given your life to him. And that is where what brings you to church now, that you've given your life to Jesus, and you want to progress and build more of a strong relationship with him. So that's personally. But why are we here as a church? Both as the church, as a body of Christ, and as the church specifically here. And I just want to read you a little bit from the Eagles Nest Church website. It says, Eagles Nest Church is a multi-generational community church in the north of Nottingham that exists to positively transform the local area by being an authentic gathering of ordinary people that seek to put God central in all we do. We want to transform our local community by running projects and partnering with organisations that aim to make the north of Nottingham a better place to live. By putting God first, we are developing a church where people have genuine relationships, are encouraged in their faith, and can discover how God can use their unique talents and gifts. I'll come back to that last little bit about, I'll read it again. Are encouraged in their faith and can discover how God can use their unique talents and gifts. So, anyone who walks through that door is 100% welcome, no matter where they're at with their faith. But that's the DNA of this church. That's what makes the difference between us coming and it being a nice little social club, or just going to meeting for a coffee, or coming to church. We want to actually progress. We want to be able to use our talents. We want to draw closer to God, and we want to develop our relationships with Jesus. Right, so Romans. I'll read it to you now. So, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So this passage is all about gifts and talents given to us by God that we as individuals and as a church can grab hold of and develop. And it starts off, for the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. And it's really significant that Paul has started with talking about himself and why he's given this message. For by the grace given to me, I say to you. He's demonstrating the next part. He's demonstrating that it's not in his power. It's not in his ability as a really good preacher. It's not in his magnificence going around telling people what to do. Is he's recognized that he's been given grace by Jesus and an opportunity to share that. I struggled with this next bit quite a lot, the look at yourself with sober judgment. Whenever I heard it in the past, I used to look at it and I used to feel like it was written as though If you're given a lower down job, if you're given a job that doesn't seem as important, if you're not a preacher, then thanks, John. If you're not a preacher, then don't worry about it. That's your station in life. And I always thought that that's kind of where it came from. But it's wrong. It's completely wrong. It doesn't translate very well. And Ben would probably explain the ins and outs of why it doesn't translate properly. But it's talking about us as a whole, us as people, us as humans who are fallen. It's talking about the fact that we need to look at ourselves in sober judgment. We're all sinners. We all fall short, and we all waste the talents we've been given. But God is so much stronger, so much more impressive. And where am I? Suddenly, our gifts and talents are added to when we realize those things and we give it over to God and let him actually do the work, let him guide it. Once we receive God's grace and make ourselves available, that's when great things happen. That's worship. So my favorite preacher of all time was Jesus. And I realize that's kind of a little bit on the nose, but he used to tell a story and then unpack it a little bit to make his point. So I'm going to give that a go. So once upon a time, there was a football team. Their players were bad. Well, they weren't bad. They weren't great, but they weren't bad. The team, though, was rubbish. They were so bad that 7 games into the season, they were bottom of the league. They had 1 point. Even Derby had 7 points at that point in the season. Sorry, Rob. So that just shows you how bad they really were. But then something happened. They got a new manager. The talent those players had was transformed. The players didn't change. They didn't suddenly become world class. They weren't Ronaldo and various others running around on the pitch. They were the same players, but they were organized and they bought into what the manager was doing. Suddenly, they began to win, and soon they were above Derby. I'm really sorry. Rob told me this morning he's preaching next week, so I'm probably setting myself up a little bit here, but never mind. Yeah, a little bit. By the end of the season, though, they were promoted to the Premier League. They still weren't world-class players, but their gifts and talents were being used in the right way. It's the same for people throughout the Bible. You've just got to look at some of the stories that are in there. You've got fishermen who couldn't catch fish, but then were taught to catch men. You've got a man who built a boat in the middle of a desert. You've got a virgin who became a mother. You've got a boy who was sold into slavery who became the right-hand man of Pharaoh. The list goes on. And actually, in our weakness, that's when God moves. So the great thing this morning about this talk that I'm giving you is if you're feeling insignificant and like you haven't got a lot to give, you're in the best place. Because actually, it makes it so much easier for God to work. And it's the same for each of us. We're each given gifts and talents. It's the direction of the power and the power that the Holy Spirit provides us that is what matters. It's the game changer. It's what changes your life and this church from being nice and comfortable and a bit of a social club and a bit of a, you live in a normal life, but you believe in Jesus, to being something miraculous. Both personally and collectively, we progress, we become more effective, and we receive purpose and blessings along the way when we make ourselves available to it. Here I have £10. I need a volunteer. Come on then. Yeah, you put your hand up. You've volunteered now. No. So, perfect, Ebony. We were just talking about how you've got to make yourself available, and you made yourself available. So here's £10. Use it this week to bless somebody. That's it. See? You all wish you'd stood up now. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to make that step to actually stand up and say, I'm ready and willing to be available. But when you do, that's when God blesses you to bless others. Firstly, we have to recognize, though, that there is value in what's being offered. It comes back to the start of our relationship with Jesus, recognizing who he is, the power that he has. Because when we recognize that, surely we want more of it. And then we can volunteer. Has anyone else ever been sat in church looking at the amazing people leading worship and thought, oh, do you know what? I wish God would use me like that. But then we sit there week after week and we don't put ourselves forward. We don't go for prayer at the back and just say, look, I don't know what I'm here for, but I just want prayer because I want God to release things in me. One of my favourite stories and I can't ever remember where I heard it. It was just in a random preach somewhere. It was of an elderly gentleman in a small church. And every time there was a prayer call at the end of the service, he'd jump out of his seat and he'd run straight there. And some of the other members of the congregation began to get really frustrated at it, because it didn't matter what it was that the prayer was for, he was there. And so they went and confronted him about it. They said, look, you're getting in the way of other people receiving. You're constantly going there. And he turned around to them and said, I understand that, but if God's got something for me, I want to make sure I'm available for it. And that's where we need to be. Let's be a church that's willing to sacrifice and make ourselves available. Let's be a church that's willing to put ourselves out there. And let's be a church that maybe one week you'll go for prayer and you'll come away and think, well, that was all right, but nothing's really changed. Let's continually be making ourselves available, because you never know when you're going to be used. Paul continues, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So going back to the football analogy, Cooper had come in and he'd gone, do you know what? We're not scoring enough goals. Let's just put 11 strikers on the field. No defenders, no goalkeeper. They'd have been a rubbish team. And it's important that we recognise that as a church, we're the same way. We can't all have the same job. We can't all have the same responsibilities. God doesn't want to use us all in the same way. He wants to use each of us differently. But that's when we're effective together. It's no good having amazing preachers and worship leaders up the front if there's nobody stood at the door to welcome newcomers and give them the time that they need. It's no good if somebody comes in and they're struggling with their health. If they come in, they sit down, they listen to a preach, and then they go home, but nobody's there willing and ready to pray for them. The church needs to fulfill physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs. And at 10 a.m., it also needs to provide for my need for coffee. Paul gives a list of various jobs, and it's not everything. He could never go into all of the things God wants to use us for. But he says, if it's gifts of prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. My favourite wording in that is if it's to give, then give generously. Because he doesn't want us doing the bare minimum either. He doesn't want to release gifts in us so that we can just kind of get by and use it a little bit. He wants us to step out in that and take it and run with it. And it's not always the obvious gift that we're being asked to use. So we need to make sure we're making ourselves available. Dex, can you just stand up a minute? No. God's blessed you enough already. Dex is a specimen of a man. Look, you look at Dex. Physically, he's incredible. So I'm looking at him, I'm thinking, there's a man built for putting out the chairs. The heavy lifting, the unpacking the cupboard. But Dex has made himself available, and God said, no, Dex, at this moment in time, putting out the chairs isn't what I need you doing. I need you worshipping. You can sit down now. Thank you. I was going to do that with John Fahey, but he's disappeared off to do kids. It's funny, every time I write a little bit so I can have a dig at him, and he disappears. But it's like that with each and every one of us. Sometimes it's not the obvious, and it's not for us to make the decision as to what it is God wants to do with us. We need to be asking him constantly. Where am I up to? In this room, there's a fair few people who have run the youth work. I'm not going to make them stand up, don't worry. But they're not running it now. And you think, well, why aren't they running it now? They've clearly got a gift in for it. But actually, there's seasons for everything. God has seasons in everything that we do. And there's a time when we could continue with the job we've been given, but we start to do it in our own strength. And that's not what God wants. When we become too comfortable and we start doing it in our own strength, we're wasting our time, because our strength, it just isn't enough. It comes back to the start, when you need to evaluate yourself, when you need to look at yourself humbly, and you need to make yourself available for God to do the next thing for you. We're made for relationship with God. We're made for purpose. We fall short constantly, but Jesus loved us enough to die on a cross, and that needs to be the start place. That needs to be where our acts of service come from. That needs to be where we start from when we make ourselves available. It's not about getting recognition or anything like that. It's about building our relationship with God and being excited for what he wants to do. In a minute, the band are going to come back up and we're going to worship some more. But I just want to make sure that we give people opportunity. If you want prayer to have gifts released within you, then we're going to make time for that. If you need prayer for healing, then we're going to make time for that. If you feel like you're sat in the congregation and you've got a word for somebody, we're going to make time for that too, because God wants to use each and every one of us. It's no good me standing here and talking and sharing all this if nothing changes. It's no good any preacher coming up any week and sharing stuff if it makes us feel nice, but nothing changes. So let's become a church that when we walk through that door, we recognize where we came from. We recognize the start point of our relationship with Jesus. We recognize what we come to church for and what this church is about, and we step out in it. If the band can come back up. Well, I'm just going to pray for us. Lord, we just thank you that you are an amazing God. You are a God who wants to bless us and use us. We thank you that you love us and you don't want to leave us where we're at. We thank you that you've built us with gifts and talents, and you want to release more of those. And you want to release gifts and talents that we don't even realize we have inside of us yet. We also thank you that when you do release those gifts and talents, we then don't have to use them in our strength. You will guide us, and your Holy Spirit will be the power that empowers those gifts and talents. Lord, I pray that as we come to you now and as we worship you, you would outpour on our lives and you would use us. Amen.
Surrounding me, let it break. Watch your name still. Call the sea to still. The rage in me to still. Every wave. Watch your name. Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
Let's stand together and sing this out. Breathe.
Breathe. Call these bones to live. Call these lungs to sing. Once again, while we praise Jesus, 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 you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus.
Sing it out, your name.
Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome.
might be overcome. Sing out his name, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus,
and your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Sing it out, your name.
Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny.
Away. Just sing out that name, Jesus.
You make the darkness tremble. Jesus,
something that they're uncomfortable with. Maybe it's actually stepping into a spotlight where you're seen. But I just really felt God calling people out of the shadows. And as someone who very much struggles with fear, that's something that I know is frightening to the point where sometimes it feels like you can't even move. But I can stand as a testimony to say that it's only the power of Jesus, and it's only the strength of Jesus, and it's only in our weakness that He is made strong and that we find strength So if you're finding it hard maybe to step out of a shadow or maybe to step into something new, I just really feel like this promise that His grace is sufficient for our weakness and that fear has no hold, no hold, no hold at all, no hold. 10 years ago, I didn't sing. 10 years ago, I never played an instrument. 10 years ago, I never would be standing here. I will tell you that. 10 years ago, I would not be saying this without trembling inside. That is the power of Jesus. So Jesus, I just, yeah, declare that fear has no power. In Jesus' name, where we look at ourselves too humbly, where we look at ourselves and we beat ourselves up and say we are not enough, we just rebuke that in Jesus' name and we say that in our weakness, You are strong. We claim the name of Jesus over our lives, over our callings, over our giftings, over our talents. And we just say that we are coming out of the shadows into the new things that You are asking us. You silence every fear. So we just say, come, silence those fears. Come, embolden us by Your Holy Spirit this morning.
Yeah, that's God's word. That's my reality as well. I can speak almost exactly that testimony, just the same. I would never have stood up in front of people and spoken. When I was a child, I so struggled with shyness. My mum would speak for me. You know, there's no way I could have done this that I do now and speaking and stuff. But fear was holding me captive. It was stopping me using the gifts that God had given me to use and fulfilling the potential that I would have in Him. So if that is your reality today as well, you feel that fear is holding you back, anxiety, fear of what people will think of you, fear about not being good enough, then there's guys at the back, I think maybe, and girls, women at the back, I think maybe you do need to step out this morning and just sneak your way back there and pray and just make that your first step of freedom, first step towards freedom.
Does
you make the darkness tremble?